Last three gifts of the Holy Spirit: piety, fortitude, and the fear of the Lord. The English word piety is not much help in understanding this gift. We might define the gift of piety as that inclination of the Holy Spirit which leads us to be loyal to the sources of our being. That gift of the Holy Spirit which inspires us to be loyal to the sources of our being. Clearly, the first and primary source of our being is God. On the human level, the source of our being is our parents. But then beyond that, is not just the source of our physical being, the source of our spiritual being. Those from whom and through whom we have received our understanding of the faith. The persons who have, over the years of our lives, contributed so deeply and generously to our both physical and spiritual well-being. The primary focus of the gift of piety is to both elevate and inspire us to practice the virtue of justice. As we've said, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit correspond to the seven powers of virtues: faith, hope and charity, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. God has given us, has given, continues giving us everything that we have, both physically, bodily, and especially spiritually and supernaturally. We therefore have this is sheer gratitude. We are too daily, and I believe this is the fourth time in the retreat. We therefore daily make an examine of conscience. I am repeating, but with conscious deliberation, the first thing we should do in our daily examine of conscience is briefly go over the blessings that God has given us during the day. Somebody holds the door open for us. We thank the person. Someone passes, well, the sugar or the butter, or the salt of the table, flames. I cannot tell you how crucially important is the practice of gratitude towards God as an expression of this gift of piety. By definition, we are grateful to the one or the ones who give us what we have no claim on. And as creatures, we have no claim on anything. God has given us everything. We owe him, and the verb is owe everything. As over the years in teaching the theology, especially the virtue of charity, I've told my students, charity or love builds on gratitude. I've been recommending resolutions daily, and not just once, but many times a day. Thank God. And remember, thank God not only for what is pleasant, but for what is painful. One focus, however, I want to center on in reflecting on this gift of piety is, as we said, that gift which inclines us to respond with a deep reverence, loyalty, and love for first and mainly God. We are living in a world in which what we call the sacred, which belongs to God, is being so widely, I almost want to say, removed or erased from our society. There are in the world persons, places, and things which are sacred, which somehow belong to, pertain to, or need to God. How we need, I want to be as down to earth as possible, and examine our consciences here before we close this retreat tomorrow morning. How conscious am I, how aware of the sacred things in my life? First of all, do I have sacred statues in my home? Do I have sacred pictures in my home? I will ask for a show of hands. I don't want to embarrass you. Pardon me, embarrass you unnecessarily. from childhood. I think I've said this on some occasion to some of you. Mother and I lived on the second floor, and he walked into, I won't even call it an apartment, walked into the kitchen, and next to the door was a holy water font. Maybe I should ask, I'm embarrassed, so what? How many of you, first of all, have holy water in your homes? See, this is very good. Holy water is something sacred. That's why it's called holy water. Secondly, I hear with fewer hands this time. How many of you have a holy water font in your homes? It's very good, but pardon me. And if you cannot afford it, send me the bill. I'll get my Jesuit superiors to pay for the holy water fonts. I give you 10 days after the retreat. May 20th. You may have to convince your wife. Have holy water in your homes and use it. And we've talked about this before. Talk about, I don't say, the lack of reverence for things sacred. In so many parts of our nation and in Catholic institutions, there has been the loss of even, I don't say respect for, or even recognition of, what is sacred. This is Jesus Christ, the living God, who became the Son of Mary, present in the Blessed Sacrament. One church, shall I say, once Catholic after another, no longer has the Blessed Sacrament. The faith has been lost by many once professed Catholics. Until your dying day, if your knees can still do it, if necessary, hold a cane. And genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament. Okay? That nobody else does. All the more reason why you, I don't say should, you must. In Mother Angelica, was so widely, shall I say, publicized for taking issue with His Eminence, Cardinal Roger Mahoney of Los Angeles, over his pastoral on the liturgy, and with a pastoral, and during my reading, I kept praying for Cardinal Mahoney. I recently had some lectures in Los Angeles. I called Cardinal Mahoney's office in Los Angeles for 2 full days. May I please meet His Eminence here for just a few minutes? You guessed it. I never got the appointment. And now, I did tell you about the word merit, didn't I? Did I? All kinds of sacred words are now being profaned. My TV programs, movies, what a job we have, women, to restore reverence for the sacred, because by definition, the sacred belongs to God. For some of us, He may also be watching our language. But on a second thought, we use the word profane or profanity. In theological language, the profane is that which belongs to this world. And the antonym for profane is sacred. What is sacred anymore? I'm still on the gift of piety. And this must be the 5th time I'm stressing this. Whatever you do, and I beg you, as one of your resolutions of this retreat, make your conversation more sacred and less profane. But I have been doing it. All the more reason, get started. Talk about the things of God. Share with others your own deep spiritual, both convictions and feelings. I cannot tell you how important it is as the foundation for the apostolate to which I am constantly urging you, because the vicar of Christ and these are the words of the Holy Father. The future of the Catholic Church in America mainly depends on the faithful Catholic loyalty. those who are consecrated, as the expression goes, sadly have taken on a profane way of life. What is a religious habit on a nun except her what else? Her sacred garb. What else is, well, a cassock, a Roman collar, or a priest, except the manifestation of the sacred? No words of mine can describe the widespread, national, profound profanation of the sacred in our beloved country. Over the years, depending on what city I am, I've seen in front of homes, I look, I smile, and I thank God, a beautiful statue of Our Lady. Am I making sense? Use your imagination. Ask our Lord to enlighten you on how you and for your husbands and fathers, your family, can help to restore the sacred in our widely desacralized nation. And you can guess, I would like to spend not just a 45-minute, but a 5-hour meditation on this gift of piety. The gift of piety, having, of course, first and primarily, the divinely infused inclination to respect the sacred coming from God. Also recognizes in every human being we know, we meet a person who is sacred. The worst gravity of the crime of abortion is evil as killing an innocent person is, and that is evil. The worst crime of abortion is the desecration of a sacred being who belongs to God. Only God has a right. Obviously, otherwise we wouldn't be here to bring human beings into existence. Only God, knowing the but He, has a right to determine and decide how long they will remain here on earth. The crime of abortion is We know the result of a loss of faith in God. We continue. The sixth gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of fortitude. Same name, spelled the same way as the virtue of fortitude. But this goes beyond the virtue. Why shall we say, carrying to a successful conclusion even the most difficult tasks in our service of God? And the higher the sanctity which God is calling us, the more difficulties, trials, burdens, crosses He will send us. We said earlier in the retreat that we're making the spiritual exercises are not only to aim at saving our souls. We are to aim at becoming holy. In the word, and I mean this, becoming saints. I have the goal to say, only saints will survive in the Catholic Church today. And by definition, a saint is one who lives a heroic life beyond the call of duty, behind the binding obligations of God's commandments. Let me go on. Two forms of courage are implied in this gift of fortitude. First, to undertake difficult tasks. And the key word is to undertake, in another word. And secondly, this gift enables us to go towards long and trying difficulties. In other words, to persevere. Note the difference. On first level, the gift of fortitude inspires us to undertake what is difficult, what is humanly impossible. And when I speak, put into my life occasions, opportunities, yes, I believe, to glorify His name, my beloved, not just my own, but human capacity. And the capacity is not only physical capacity, is the capacity of the human unit by itself. In other words, this gift of fortitude, all that we have to do as we keep repeating is, what is God's will? Once I'm convinced God wants me, pardon me, I will change the mood. God will want me to do something. And something I'm not obliged to do. I blink. I want to remind. Strange answer. Yes. There's such a thing as being born on the mind. Am I making sense? Oh, stories I could tell. But we don't hesitate. We do it. And secondly, in this form of us, let's be sure, before the retreat is over, you examine your conscience. Father, please stop repeating that phrase. You examine your conscience and ask yourselves, what things may be past tense, had I undertaken and give up? Or am I now doing and want to, well, let go? This gift of fortitude enables us to carry on. Both forms of call them fortitude or courage are necessary for salvation, or our purpose, our precondition for sanctification. Now the least strength that we need is to live up to what before God we've decided to do for His honor and glory, and hear it, no matter what other people may think, say, or do. In so many ways, our worst enemy is we ourselves. And of course, this is where only the Holy Spirit can provide us with the wisdom, going back to the first gift of the Holy Spirit. And these seven gifts go together. The wisdom of doing what we know God wants us to do, no matter how unpopular, how unexpected, how unwelcome what we're doing may be to others. But then we need the wisdom to know how to do it. I didn't plan on saying this. I do a fair amount of writing for publication. And at the end of each year, we are privileged to share publicly. Well, a record of what we have published during the year, four years, I have not released. Am I making sense? Released that information. In other words, there was such a thing as doing God's will. What a statement. And I don't say not showing off, but hiding it. You don't go around boasting what we've done. This is part of the gift of fortitude. In other words, courage. Endure what others do not do, and as far as you can, like a lady, hiding it. Last gift of the Holy Spirit. The fear of the Lord. It is placed last in any list of the Church's teaching, but this fear of the Lord is really the first in the rising scale of moral values. The fear of the Lord strengthens our virtue hope. As we've said all along, the seven gifts correspond to the seven virtues. Unlike worldly or what the Church calls servile or servile fear, this gift of fear is called filial. From the Latin filius, son. It is a fear based on the selfless love of God. More deeply we love someone, the more we fear to offend the one we love. Of course, we are to fear God's punishments. Because God is a just God. But our faith tells us this God is not only a just God, but only a loving God. God is love. In other words, the fear of the Lord is the peak, the apex of the virtue of charity. Again, let me be clear. Our faith tells us we are to fear the laws of heaven and the pains of hell. But even there, underneath even, there is legitimate fear of God's punishments. Should be it. Should be some fear which is based on the love of God. What a difference between fearing to offend God because of what I will lose or not get or be punished for, and a fear that is grounded on selfless and totally self-giving love. The gift of fear as the teardrop of the fear of the Lord. Inherit. Gives us, and with this we close this conference, gives us the power to control and conquer all other fears in our lives. You're in it. And normally speaking, they were afraid. And not just a physical pain. How they dread the loss of the friendship of someone else. Well, is that fear of losing friendship of some human being whom we love, is that the apex of the spiritual life? No. The timor domini, the fear of the Lord, gives us how you need this, I need it, to master every human fear, including the fear of the loss of a person or persons we deeply love, because there should be only one master fear in our lives, and that is the fear of offending my God. Believe me, I'm not quoting from writings that I read. I am quoting from experience. Mary, Mother of our Lord, conceived without sin, you are full of grace from the moment of your conception. You never gave into any sin and protected by God's grace. You are confident you will not sin. But unlike you, you are sinners. Sinners in the past and potential sinners in the future. Obtain from Jesus such deep, strong fear of the Lord. May courageously face the rest of our days here on earth, and fear nothing, dear Mother, fear no one, because we are inspired by our own fear of offending your divine Son. Amen. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, time for confessions. Your last, and a day left in this retreat.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.